I'll come right in.
Rock, flag, and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. This is your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. This week, I got Trey back on. Trey, why don't you give everybody a shout-out?
How's it going, guys? Trey Farley over here from Belly Up Racing. We're going with Rattlesnake here every now and then.
Yeah, Trey, what are your social media accounts?
Pretty much everything's pretty generic. It's all just T_Farley_3. Or you can just search, Trey Farley, Terrence, whatever you want to search. You'll find me.
Okay, cool. So last week's episode, I was talking about the Truck Series Championship had just happened. And I was recording it before the Xfinity race happened, the championship. And I was kind of making predictions on both races. So this week, I wanted to go back, number one, and brag about my prediction about Tyler Reddick winning the Xfinity race. What did you think of the Xfinity race, Trey?
I thought the Xfinity race was honestly probably the best race of the weekend, just because of the outcome and everything. I think it overall is the best. But the racing was really good, too. I mean, Cole Custer dropped to the back of the field and fought his way all the way up. That's what you ask for in a championship race, especially when he's dueling with someone going for a two-time championship there.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think that was the best race of the night, or the best race of the weekend. I think most people would agree. It was awesome. Obviously, I was right when I predicted Tyler Reddick, which shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone.
Because, you're a children's guy.
Yep, yeah, and I'm just a genius. But, yeah, I mean, so Tyler Reddick wins the championship, and obviously it was a great race. And everyone kind of wants to see that package now. But I think the biggest story is those three guys now transitioning into the Cup Series. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be interesting just because, Christopher Bell was in the best equipment, honestly, the whole year, despite how he finished in terms of Xfinity Series. But now you're looking at where he's probably going to be the weakest or second weakest because Custer's going to have the best. And Reddick, it really depends on what we can see him get out of those Childress cars. But
right.
I think it's going to be the same thing as you saw, in the Xfinity Series this year is going to be the Rookie of the Year battle. It's going to be just as tight and just as interesting to watch.
This year's Rookie of the Year battle was a complete joke, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Hemric won the Rookie of the Year battle, and he lost his ride before he even got that award. So, and then last year, it was William Byron and Bubba Wallace. It was terrible. Yeah. So 2020's Rookie of the Year battle is – previously I said it was going to be the biggest story of the year. Obviously I was wrong about that, but I'm just really excited to see these guys in the Cup Series because I think these are three very talented drivers that, could be contenders pretty quickly in the Cup Series. We keep hearing about the young guns and the new class coming in and yada, yada, yada. I think we finally might see some of that. Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney are really the only two right now that I think are really producing from the young gun. I mean, I don't know how long you've been watching NASCAR, but do you remember when, like, Kyle Larson and, Joey Logano and Austin Dillon were the young guns?
Yeah, I mean, those were pretty hot times because that was back when Austin Dillon was, super competitive, especially, early on. Obviously, Joey Logano in his early years with Gibbs was kind of a hit or miss, but I think it was a sign of what was to come. But then we kind of, like you said, missed out on in the last couple of years, that Rookie of the Year battle.
Right, exactly. So, I remember back when the young gun was a thing, and lately it just seems to be meaningless. I mean, the last three championship fours have been Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., and one other. So I'm just really excited to see this youth come into the Cup Series. Who do you think will be the Rookie of the Year that year? And obviously it's a ways out, and it depends on how they're going to do. But what do you think?
I'm going to say, even though, like I said, the equipment is going to be the real question, but after seeing what Matty D did there with Levine Family Racing, I think Christopher Bell's going to get it. I just feel like he's probably has the most talent across all tracks. He's consistent everywhere he goes, so I think that's going to transfer into the Cup Series very, very easily. But like I said, it really depends on the equipment, but that would probably be my pick for next year.
All right, well, should come as no surprise here, but I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick.
Wow, surprise. Shocked.
I think the guy's a champion. I think he's a champion. He knows when he's going to fight for that win, when the championship is on the line. I mean, he's back-to-back Xfinity Series champions, and he earned it definitely this year. There's no argument there. And in 2019, so this season, in the Cup Series, he had two Cup Series starts, and one of those starts, it was a DNF in Daytona. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's Daytona. And then, right, exactly. And then he got a top 10 finish. One of the few top 10 finishes I feel like RCR has actually gotten in 2019 out of two starts. So, I mean, the RCR equipment definitely is not there, but even with the equipment, the guy managed to get a top 10 finish. So I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick.
Solid choice. I mean, I would think that'd probably be my second pick. I don't think Custer's going to get it. I don't think he'll be able to get right into it like that.
Yeah, unfortunately for Custer. But, I mean, I would say he's got the best equipment. Would you not?
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that 100%. I just don't know if he'll make the most of it.
Yeah. I mean, I say it's the best equipment, but at the same time, Daniel Suarez is never going to win, so who knows?
Yeah, we don't know what that car's capable of.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows at this point? So sticking with championship weekend talk, Kyle Busch got his second championship. I hear the sod.
Yeah, not a big Kyle Busch guy at all.
So I know you made a video about this over at Burnt Rubber Racing Network on YouTube. But what do you have to say about Kyle Busch winning his second championship?
I'm not super happy about it. I really wanted to see Denny get his first, but deep in my heart, I'm a Truex guy, so seeing him come up second again, like, it was heartbreaking. But I've learned to love Kyle Busch little by little. I do see the Earnhardt comparison that people make, so I'll respect it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the two drivers, I picked Denny Hamlin to win just because I felt like it was his season, which is just, I mean, so heartbreaking. The guy still, I don't know if he'll ever win a championship at this point, but yeah, I picked Denny Hamlin. I thought he deserved it the most, and then after that, I would have wanted to see Truex. So I 100% agree with you. The only positive I can say, the only silver lining here, is at least it's not Kevin Harvick. I know I'm probably the only person that thinks this, but I hate Kevin Harvick more than Kyle Busch. I mean, I just despise everything about Kevin Harvick. I think he's a snake. I think he's a punk. I think he's a phony. Anyway, I agree. I definitely did not want to see Kyle Busch win his second championship. Seems like a douchey guy. But I will say this. Kyle Busch is the new Jimmy Johnson, in a way. And I know plenty of people will probably get pissed about that. But the fact of the matter is, Kyle Busch is the best driver right now in NASCAR. And at what point do you stop rooting against him and start saying, let's see what this guy can do? Maybe he will become one of the greatest of all time. I mean, do you get that feeling at all, or is that just me?
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, obviously he doesn't have the image that Jeff Gordon did, but I think it's kind of the same deal. You know, Kyle Busch came in as a young guy and was beating everybody, regardless of who it was, and he didn't give a shit to just knock you out of the way. You know, Kyle Busch is a take-none, give-none kind of guy. You know, he's a – matured a lot there, so I think that's where I respect him a lot more, because now you see Father Busch, you know, with his son Brexton. So I think we are seeing a different side of him, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, personality-wise, I think Kyle Busch is, you know, easily one of the worst people in NASCAR.
Yeah.
He's just a stick in the mud. He's just not the type of person that I want to see be a champion. But at this point in time, he seems like the only guy that is a champion, truly. And a good example of this, when I was talking to Amber from Racing Wise, did you ever watch that show?
I think I watched an episode after you did the podcast with her, but I think that's the only one I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I don't know if you have a girlfriend, probably not based on how you look, but maybe she watched it. But there was a scene where Amber is in a bar at this, like, you know, event, and she's quote-unquote taking a shot with Whitney Dillon, and apparently it ended up just being wine. It wasn't even liquor. And Kyle Busch goes to his wife, Samantha, because Samantha gets Amber, you know, on the team. Kyle Busch is like, your girl's over there taking shots, and just, like, snitches on her, and then gets angry at her for taking shots, apparently, at an event. And I was like, you know, and this is a black tie type event. And I'm like, dude, Kyle Busch is the biggest pussy on earth. Like, I could kick his ass. No question in my mind. I could kick this dude's ass. He's just a bitch. I don't like him. Like, that's the type of kid. He seems like a little snitch. Seems like the person that won't, you know, drink with you. So I don't want this guy to be my champion. I'm the last person on earth that wants that guy to be my champion. But I guess my point is, at this point in time, product on the track alone, not personality, he seems like the only champion to me.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right with that. I mean, no one else has really stepped up to the plate as much. Like I said, Truex has came up second, but he's probably the closest one, and he's more in the twilight years than Busch is.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, what does that guy even sound like? Because I wouldn't know. You know, the guy, he's so polite. He doesn't talk to the media. He's just, like, in the background. If that guy's our champion for NASCAR, nobody cares. Like, honestly, Joey Logano, I would put at number two. You know, just because he's a personality. He's an asshole. He gets people talking. He's younger. He's the future. A guy like Martin Truex Jr., who's clearly been crushing it, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but outside of NASCAR, he's a nobody.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Ask anybody that doesn't watch NASCAR who Martin Truex Jr. is, and they'll say they have no clue who you're talking about. You ask him who Kyle Busch is or Joey Logano is, more likely they'll know. So it's unfortunate that Kyle Busch won his second championship. But I guess my original question was, like, at what point do you just kind of start, like, sit back and appreciate what he's doing and see if he can somehow make his own little legacy, because I don't think anybody's going to get seven championships again in the sport of NASCAR. I mean, what do you think?
With the playoff system, honestly, I think it's more possible now, whereas it was a little more open when the other guys were doing it. Now, you know, it's constricted to those four people, so there's that guaranteed door that if you can just win once each round, you'll make it. So if you're a championship driver, it shouldn't be impossible for you to win your way through the rounds or at least finish high enough to get your points through it. But yeah, I don't think that anyone will. And I think, like you said, though, Kyle Busch is someone you're going to have to sit back and admire, because I didn't do that with Jimmy Johnson. And now that, you know, he's at the end of his career, I'm seeing where I made my mistake, and I don't want to do the same thing with Kyle Busch because he is a great on-track talent. So yeah, I'll show respect, but I don't like him.
So I 100% disagree with that take. I think it's much harder to win a championship now.
Really? Okay. I'll hear it.
Because it comes down to one race at the end of the day, honestly. This should have, in my opinion, looking back, like, who had the most wins this season?
Truex, I believe, had seven or eight.
All right, so Martin Truex Jr. had the most wins, right?
I believe so.
I just feel like, you know, what last year, how many wins did Joey Logano have last year?
Oh, gosh. Like three, four?
My point is, it's all just like how you play the system now.
Yeah.
You can win a championship without getting a single win, but it's all about how you play the system. The guy that has the most wins overall, like, could end up not even in the championship four, like, in the regular season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking of the way NASCAR's heading. Like you said, the younger guys that are there now are kind of going to work their way in. Look at someone like William Byron, who has a crew chief right now. Maybe not down the line he'll have Chad Knaus on top of his pit box, but Chad Knaus is a championship crew chief and knows how to work the system because he's worked through a couple of them with Jimmy.
Arguably the best ever.
100%. So, you know, someone who's young like Byron, who's already been in the playoffs and still at the very, very beginning of his career, he's going to grow up through that. So I think he may be someone you could watch kind of master it and maybe be another Jimmy Johnson, especially since he's with Hendrix.
Yeah, but why haven't we seen it yet? Why haven't we seen him get a single win yet? If, you know, he is going to be a good, talented driver.
It's kind of hard to say, but I feel like just because, like we said, the Gibbs cars have dominated all year. Harvick was always up there. It just seemed like it was the same crowd, and Byron was in that, but he was always kind of in the tail end of the top 10. You know, he would finish in the teens and 20s a lot still, but he was always a threat to get like a seventh or eighth. So with a little bit of maturity, I could see his, you know, average finish going up like it has, and maybe, you know, getting him into that role further down the line.
I mean, Jimmy Johnson, by his second, or well, it was his first full time season, he had 3 wins. His second full time season, he had 3 wins. His third full time season, he had 8 wins. Like, we don't see that anymore. So what I'm saying is, I think it's harder to win now than it used to be.
I would agree with that, just because they've went to such great lengths to make it more competitive racing, so you don't see that kind of domination anymore.
And that's why I don't think we'll ever see a 7-time champion ever again.
I can see it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, not to mention, it just seems like you never see the young guys win. You know, we'll see Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, and then like maybe Alex Bowman sneak his way in there. Other than that, look at every single week for the past 3 years. Who has won? Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, you know, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano. It's the same guys every single week.
Yeah, it's pretty dry in terms of, you know, who your winners are and the diversity in victory lane there.
Yeah, it's extremely dry. So, I mean, they're going to change something. So I'm hoping this young class can figure it out quickly and we start to get some diversity, especially some youth in there. I feel like people were, you know, a little hesitant about the quote-unquote young guns coming into the sport. But at this point, I feel like even, like, these boomers would like to see some young guns start to win, you know?
Yeah, I would hope so, but I think as shitty as it sounds here, you're going to see the same thing again in just 5 or 6 years when you're going to see Logano, Elliott, Blaney, and another. Like, who says it's not going to be the same deal, just 3 different guys?
Well, they got to figure something out then, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, I
get what you're saying. I feel like it used to not be like that. You could be a fan of a guy that would get like 1 or 2 wins a season. And now it just seems unrealistic for that to ever happen.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying there.
All right, so Kyle Busch, he's our champion, whether we like it or not.
We don't.
So looking ahead to 2020, I know we were just talking about the, you know, the Xfinity drivers that are coming up to the Cup Series and how I think everybody's pretty excited about that. And how I said previously, I thought that was going to be the biggest storyline of the season. Well, not so fast. Now, Jimmy Johnson is retiring in 2020. So, number one, everyone's talking about that. But it didn't take long for people to switch gears and start talking about who's replacing Jimmy Johnson. So what are some of your thoughts on this?
Honestly, I just don't see anyone in the Chevy camp that really would fit there. I've Jimmy Johnson being a 7-time champion, you know, those are big shoes to fill. And when you look at the Xfinity Series, I'm not sure there's a Chevy driver that could step into Hendrick Motorsports. I'm not exactly sure who he has developing down there or who Chevy has developing 100%. But it's pretty much been Ford and Toyota. And all regards across all series for the most part, you know, Chevy's kind of been slacking here recently. I know you're a Chevy guy, but I can't see anyone in there particularly right now. I'd have to think about it and, you know, kind of wait and see what everyone else is talking.
So you're saying you wouldn't take anybody else that's not Chevy?
I just can't see anyone going into it that way. But if I did, it would probably be Chase Briscoe, because it kind of seems like he doesn't have a Cup Series home yet. But I'm just not sure if he would fit there because he is a Ford development driver. So I'm not sure if they'd let him go.
Also, maybe you can help me out with this. I was making a YouTube video that by the time this podcast is released, that's going to be uploaded. And I was kind of going through this list of names of drivers that people have been talking about as to who's going to, you know, replace Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, Briscoe was mentioned, Gregson was mentioned. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm looking through their stats. Why are people bringing their names up?
I honestly have no clue. I mean, Briscoe's kind of turned it on here this year, but
well, just he got one win.
Yeah, he got a win finally, but just hit me someone in the Cup Series as a Chevy driver that, again, he doesn't have a win either, but a lot of people put a good bit of faith in him because of how clean he keeps the car. Is Landon Castle in the 00. He's actually a Chevy driver.
So yeah, maybe Landon Castle. My whole thing is with these Xfinity drivers, these young Xfinity drivers that people are bringing up, are you a basketball fan?
Yeah, somewhat. I haven't kept up recently because NBA is kind of whatever, but college for sure. I've kept up with it.
Okay. The best way I could describe this was, like, if you wanted a young up-and-coming Xfinity driver, you are too fucking late. Like, that's the best way I can put it. You just missed out. The three clearly best drivers for the past couple years in Xfinity are now taken. And the way I described it is it was like the 2003 NBA draft with like LeBron and everybody compared to 2004 with nobody in it. And that's like kind of how I was explaining it. It's like you've missed out if you're looking – because I just – let's say like Gregson and Briscoe, like those guys combined have one Xfinity win last year. And so what, when they're racing against competition that's already going to have one solid year in the Cup Series – you know, they clearly can't beat. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I can't see it either. Like I said, no young drivers are popping out to me. Maybe there's a couple guys in trucks that in the next few years could. So maybe if they could do some kind of couple-year deal with someone who's already in the Cup Series to kind of get them by, as much as I hate to say that Hendrick would ever do that. I don't think he would. But if he was to do that, maybe in a few years you'd have a solid prospect. But like you said, the cream of the crop's been picked, so there's not a whole lot left for everyone else to scrounge up right now.
That's my thing. I'm looking at these young guys, and I'm saying 3 years more likely you're going to have another top talent.
Yeah.
But after one season, you kind of missed the boat on the Xfinity drivers, in my opinion. Everybody made their move this season. Shit. You know, RCR dropped the guy that they just picked up just to make sure that they made their move this season because everybody was making their moves. The three best are gone. So I'm looking at the field, and I'm trying to figure out who could fit there. The only other thing to me that seems likely is, you know, number one, Daniel Hemric. Here's the thing about Hemric, though. Hemric has to have a just standout, the best season he's ever had in the Xfinity Series. The guy, you know, has been driving Chevys, and he's been in the Cup Series. And although he didn't do well, he has the experience now of a full season in the Cup Series. You could also argue that the equipment was really bad he was in. He would need to have, like, at least three wins in the Xfinity Series. He would need to compete in the Xfinity Series to even be considered. What do you think of that?
I agree, just because, like you said, you were mentioning basketball earlier, so I'm going to make a baseball reference here. You know, it's like when you got those AAA prospects, you know, like they're almost ready for the majors, and they get called up for a month, and they go 1-for-12 or whatever in three games, and they get sent back down. You know, like they have the talent clearly, but they just haven't been able to make it work on the field or on the track. In this case, with Hemric, you know, he's obviously shown the talent. Or someone like Richard Childress is not going to put any time and effort into him. But it just shows how good Tyler Reddick is, because that's how quick they were able to drop Hemric. So I guess it depends, like you said, on how he falls on his feet at Junior Motorsports. If he can get somewhere, like you said, three wins or even just two and make a Champ Four appearance, you could argue he has another shot in the Cup Series given to him. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what he's able to do in that series, because that's kind of what decides if you make it to Cup or not, honestly.
Right. And at this point, I'm looking at all those Xfinity drivers, the young up-and-comers, and I'm looking at them at the same kind of playing field as Daniel Hemric. Like, they all need to win a lot here to prove that they deserve a ride like that. But the one thing with Hemric is he drove a full season in the Cup Series. Like, he has that experience over those other guys that have not done that. Another guy, though, that comes to mind is Daniel Suarez. Similar situation. Daniel Suarez seems like he would be the most talented, the most, you know, the best option. And I mentioned this in the YouTube video. I know he talked about how sponsor dollars is going to be – it was a problem for him, finding the money.
I don't see that, though, with his personality.
Thank you. He's the only Mexican driver in all of NASCAR. He's marketable, right? And you know,
he's a fun guy.
And you know who else has complained about finding sponsorship dollars? Bubba Wallace and Haley Deegan. Those are the three most marketable drivers in racing right now. Like, I don't know if they're complaining about it. Think about how much worse it is for everybody else. So I'm not thinking sponsor dollars is going to be a problem for Daniel Suarez, honestly. I know he complained about it, but I really don't see that as a problem. What I see as a problem is he was in really good equipment and never got a single win. But would something be different on a different team? You know?
That's like, what I kind of said.
Yeah, Hendrick's a great team to be on. So, like, would something change? And it goes back to what I just said about Hendrick. Let's see. If Daniel Suarez goes back down to Xfinity, tears it up, if I'm Hendrick, that's my number one guy I'm looking at.
I would agree with you there. Just because, you know, Rick Hendrick, he's looking for a championship caliber driver, and Daniel Suarez has that talent, obviously, to maybe get to that level. But if you look at Stuart Haas Racing, you have Eric Almirola, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Bowyer. Where does Daniel Suarez fit there? I mean, really. But when you go towards Hendrick Motorsports, there's just this huge aspect.
Not to mention, nobody on that team did well except Kevin Harvick this year.
Yeah, I mean, Almirola kind of finished up there a few times, you know, competed for a win there at Talladega. I believe it's Talladega, or one of those races there in the playoffs. But other than that, Clint Bowyer just made the playoffs again by the hair of his nuts, excuse me. But I just don't see where Suarez could have had any different luck than the other two, besides Harvick.
Yeah, and I mean, and it was a good ride, no doubt. The 41's a good ride, and but I don't know. This season, I feel like that 41, that whole team went from, you know, the second best team in NASCAR to fourth. You know, like, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't as good as we all kind of hyped it up to be. You know, that team really didn't do as much as people were kind of hyping up. So I don't know. Maybe Suarez does deserve another shot. And the funny thing about that is, before the season started on my show, I'm pretty sure it was with Eric Esep on the show. He was talking to me about Suarez, and I was just like, man, who is Suarez anyway? Like, this guy, everybody talks about him. He's got his name out there. What the hell has he done? He's never even got a single win. And he still hasn't got a win, but all of a sudden, I'm, like, more sympathetic towards him. I don't know why, but I'm a little more sympathetic, and I'm saying he would be my number one pick right now for that open seat. I don't know who else. I don't know. I'm racking my brain right now thinking, am I missing somebody?
They just did it at the right time to where, you know, Jimmy's going to be able to do his farewell tour, but who the hell knows who's going to end up in that seat? Like you said, Suarez seems like a good option, but what if someone else picks him up? I mean, front row still has to fill a couple of seats there, so there's always a possibility he ends up there, even though I think that's a downgrade, but I can't think of anybody else.
I mean, he'll never finish in the top 20 again, but
he will at Talladega.
Right, yeah, Daytona maybe. I've seen today on Twitter, Greg Biffle tweeted that he's excited about 2020. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people are reading a little further into that than it probably means.
Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I said on the YouTube video. Because my main thing is, number one, if Hendrick's getting another driver, they're not going to replace Jimmy Johnson with a driver even older than Jimmy Johnson. And number two, he said he's excited about 2020. Jimmy Johnson's still driving in 2020. So, like, what would that even mean?
Yeah.
So I was so confused about that, like, why people were getting excited.
And, so I mean, the obvious thing there is he did a truck race this year and won it. Wouldn't that be what he's coming back for?
Yeah, I was going to say, or maybe he's just doing those one-off, you know, Daytona 500, Talladega, you know, some one-off race that some small team kind of put together to get him. Maybe he's going to be in the booth. Maybe, you know, I don't know. It could be anything.
There are other logical options.
So many other logical options. It could be the Rolex 24. I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Right. It could be anything else. I think him getting in the 48 is the last possible, the least logical option of all of those things. So, I'm going to go with Suarez at the moment, but like you said, everything and anything could change between then and now. Regardless, that's the biggest story of the season before the season even started. Jimmy Johnson went from easily one of the most hated drivers in NASCAR to easily the most loved. And it's going to be funny watching the 2020 season roll around and people like actively want him to win again before he retires, and then the Jimmy Johnson haters that are kind of like they're going to be conflicted because they're not going to want him to win, but they're like, oh, but like, good for him. Like, I hope he does well, but like, fuck him also. Like, I hope he doesn't win. Where do you sit on this?
I say exactly where you're just talking. I hope he wins just because it's his last season, but honestly, fuck him. But I was reading today, looking at the wins list on NASCAR.com, and if he gets 3 wins this season, he'll surpass Cale Yarborough, who he's tied with, and Darrell Waltrip.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that just for the historical aspect, because really, and realistically, he can move up 3 spots. But the way he's been racing, I don't see it happening. He's never going to touch Gordon, obviously, but I think he can get a little bit closer, which would be cool. But as a Gordon fan, I take pride in the fact that he'll never touch those numbers. So, you know, Rainbow Warriors for life.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, if you're a Jeff Gordon fan, and that's kind of what I was talking about in my YouTube video. I was saying, if you hate Jimmie Johnson because you're a fan of a retired NASCAR driver, right, that you kind of had to suffer through those last couple of years of your driver, you know, whether it's like Matt Kenseth or, you know, Jeff Gordon. You know, there's plenty of drivers. Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of drivers in that era that had to suffer from this young Jimmie Johnson. I understand the hatred there. But at the same time, I understand those guys being like, you know, fuck it, my driver's retired, like, whatever, this guy's going to retire now too. We'll just leave it alone. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I don't think he'll get another win, which is sad.
I think he gets one.
I don't think so. I mean, at what point this season did it look like he was a guy that was going to win a race? Don't say the Clash.
I was going to say the Clash.
Stop it.
I mean, honestly, that was the only point in the year where it really looked like Jimmie Johnson was going to be, you know, the top dog at any racetrack. He was going to be in the top 10 because, well, he's fucking Jimmie Johnson and he races for Andretti Motorsports, one of the top teams of all time. But he never looked like he was going to be a race winner, let alone a champion again.
Right. And it's just kind of sad. I mean, honestly, you can hate the guy you want, but it's kind of sad. Like, for what he is now, he is not competition for anybody serious. I don't think he'll even get a single win. But there's a huge but, and it's completely hypothetical. It's almost like me saying, like, you know, what if I was actually able to fly instead of have to take an airplane? Like, how great would that be, right?
Yeah.
So as hypothetical and as extreme as that, how crazy would it be if Jimmie Johnson won a championship in 2020?
It would be absolutely batshit. That's the short part.
He would now hold the record for the most championships in NASCAR history.
Yeah, and I would absolutely despise that with all of my being, because although I was a Gordon fan, dude, Dale Earnhardt's the man. Like, where I'm from, Dale Earnhardt is basically second Jesus, so I don't want to see that record broken. The fact he's tied with them already is bad enough, but no, he's not going to get 8. I will personally see to that.
You'll personally see to it.
I'll go down and slice his tires on pit road, man. I just don't want to see it.
You know what? And for you to say something like that, there are so many insane Dale fans out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm mild.
Yeah, exactly. That would be wild. To see, you know, the bomb threats that would occur in the championship race for that. No, it will be kind of cool, though, that he's retiring and ending his career, and we still have a 3-way tie. You know, it's like nobody can get to that next level. And I don't know if it'll ever happen, honestly. I don't know if we'll ever see another 7-time champion. I don't think it's going to be Kyle Busch.
No, I think he's too late into his career. He should have won 3 or 4 already, like he said in his post-race interview.
Exactly. This should have been his 4th. If he was going to be up there with them, this should have been his 4th, in my opinion. It's too late. He's on his 2nd, you know? I mean, that's crazy. So what, he needs 6 more to beat anybody? 5 more just to tie it?
Yeah, but if you look at everyone who's won 7 championships, all 3 guys, Jimmie Johnson won 5 in a row. Richard Petty was 1 year away from winning 5 in a row. And Dale Earnhardt Sr. was 1 year away. 1992, Alan Kulwicki, that's my favorite championship, was the year he missed to go 5 in a row. So you have to have that consistency to get to 7, obviously. And I just don't see Kyle Busch rattling that off at this point in his career.
Yeah, and how many seasons has he been racing now?
Third, I mean, just a couple years less than Johnson. So what, Johnson's been at 18, I think. 18, 19, so I think 13, 14.
Yeah, and
Bush
what,
has been in there.
And Jimmy won his first championship, what, like five seasons in?
03, I believe it was.
No, I think it was 06, I believe.
06? I didn't know it was that late. But yeah, so 5 years into his career at that point, yeah.
I think it was 06. And then that's when he went five in a row, you know. Yeah. But that's still early enough in his career to win five.
Yeah, it would have been 2006. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
My point is, like, this should have been after his five in a row. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or finishing up his five in a row. Like, he's too old now, too late. Not too old necessarily, but too late into his career for this to only be a second.
Yeah, especially with the family aspect in his life now. Just you don't have that competitive drive as much. Like, as much as it sounds crazy, off the track, you know, your life's settled for the most part. So on the track, you don't feel as compelled to go out there every day and dominate. Even though he does and has the attitude, it's just not the same as Kyle Busch 10 years ago.
Yeah, and, like, his wife's famous now, and, like, it's just different.
Yeah, he's obviously more tired because he's going all over the place with interviews for himself, his wife, and everything in between.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see it. I really don't. I think he'll get one more and that's it. I think he'll finish at three championships.
Which is still respectable.
No doubt. But no, he'll never be up on that list, you know. Who has three? What?
Yarborough.
David Pearson. Yeah, Yarborough, Daryl Waltrip, Tony Stewart, Lee Petty. So yeah. I mean, he's gonna be in a great class. I mean, even at two, he's already in a great class.
Yeah, I think less than 20 people have won multiple championships.
Right. So I think he could reach three, and if he does, that's legendary. You know, he's going down in history. But no, he's never gonna reach Jimmy Johnson. So that's what we're looking at for 2020. If you had to make a prediction right now, and it can't be. You know what? No, I won't put restrictions on it. Who's winning 2020?
Put a restriction on it. Put a restriction on it real quick. Let's play that way.
All right. Well, you know what? No restriction. Who's winning 2020?
Oh.
And then we'll do the restriction.
Okay. Well, my answer is probably going to be the same, but I'm going to go with YRB. You know, Ryan Blaney, I feel like the way he competed this year, finishing third at Phoenix and seventh overall in the points at the end of the day, and he was in the top five there at Homestead. So I just feel like Ryan Blaney's going to get it together for the one championship, you know. If he wins more after that, who knows, but that'd be my crazy-ass early 2020 prediction.
That'd be great.
I'd
but
love
there's
it.
No restrictions? That's who you honestly feel is going to be the champion? If you were to put money down right now.
That's probably not realistically. If you're going to tell me to put money down on it,
yeah.
I'm not a gambling man, but if I'm putting money down on it, I'm betting Truex. Because
okay.
I figure restrictions would be someone we haven't talked about or someone who wasn't competing this year.
No, restrictions. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Kyle Busch because, like I said, I think he's going to hit three. I think he's going to repeat, get three, and then he's not going to get another one. Unfortunately, hopefully not Kevin Harvick, but the guy's hit it so many times. It seems like he's bound to get one. Restrictions, I was just going to say you can't pick Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., or Kyle Busch, because those three have been in it the last three seasons.
Okay.
Anyone else is open. So is that when you would pick Blaney, I guess?
No, just because I guess that was more of, you know, the answer from my heart there. You know, I was giving you my heart and soul. But realistically, like I said, Martin Truex Jr. is probably going to be the top contender, but with that restriction on it, I'm going to go ahead and go
that's
with Logano. I'm going to say Logano.
Yeah. That's a fair pick. The only reason I didn't put, like, Logano in there was because he wasn't part of that group of three that's been in, you know, the championship for the last three seasons. Logano's definitely a solid pick. I'm going to go Chase Elliott.
Ooh.
Yep. It's about time. It's about time. And I don't think he's going to do it. It's his time. If he's going to be one of a young gun champion, I think next season he's got to at least be in the championship four.
I think that is completely possible by all means. Like you say, he's got to win a championship sometime in the next couple years at least. 2020 seems pretty realistic, but You know, Bill only won, what, two championships?
Yeah.
Did he win two? Yeah, so, you know, Chase, obviously, I don't want to say it's a low mark, but he only has to win two to tie his dad, and I can see him easily doing that. But like you say, he's got to hop on it right now because he's got, what, 7 wins now in the last 3 years?
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to do it.
He's on a good team. Not to mention, I don't want to sound crazy, but like the expectations for Chase Elliott might be higher than it was for his dad. And here's why. We need a young champion. And it's weird that I don't really consider Joey Logano a young champion anymore. I don't know why I don't, but he's just like not, I guess because he's been in the league for so long. But we need somebody, you know, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, you know, that group of young guys.
Bowman's not getting it, though.
No, he's not. But you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we need an up-and-comer to really show, like, we have a next champion here. Like, somebody that's going to kind of take over the reins. And it seems like that's going to be Chase Elliott. So, oddly enough, I think that the expectations for Chase are higher than they were for his dad. Like, I think he needs to win at least two. I agree there. But he needs to start winning them soon.
Yeah, 100%, which I did look it up there while you were talking. Bill Elliott actually only won one championship, so two would, you know, beat his dad. But I think he has to go beyond two because the expectation was set so high, regardless of the fact that Bill only won one championship. He was the fastest man in NASCAR. He was the most popular driver, and he was very, very marketable. I mean, McDonald's and Coca-Cola were two of his biggest sponsors. I mean, come on, that's two of the biggest companies in the world. So Chase has to reach that level. I mean, Bill Elliott was the perfect man for NASCAR, and that's a big, big mold.
Yeah, and I think Chase could get by with two championships, but he's going to need to hit the championship four a lot. You know, kind of like a Kyle Busch, where, like, yeah, he's got two championships, so look how many fucking times he's been competing for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the two doesn't really do justice. I think Chase is going to have to fill that role of, like, he's in the championship competing every single year.
But does that devalue it more? Because, you know, looking percentage-wise, if you're only winning two in a 20-year career, does that devalue it more than if he wins one here, one in another 4 years, and then after?
I don't think so with the way the system's set up, because if you're in the four, it all comes down to that one last race, you know, which is definitely important, and it, you know, it means a lot. But kind of like baseball, you know, one game doesn't mean much. You need a whole series to really represent, you know? So, in my opinion, if you're just in the championship four, you're, like, at that level. Like, I'm going to look back and be like, here's the guys that were always in the championship four. They were at that level, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking more in relation to, you know, like, when people make the argument between Jordan and LeBron, well, Jordan never lost in the finals. You know, that kind of deal where,
like,
how many times you make
gene?
It, how many times you win. Yeah, the clutch gene.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's just like, I don't know, it's a little different when you're driving cars rather than pure athleticism. You know, stuff can go wrong, and that's kind of why I'm like a little weary about the, like, it all comes down to this last race. It's like, yeah, but and when you're driving a car on a track and you can't just rely on pure athleticism, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I see what they're going for with it. I mean, they want the 1992 championship again, where there were six drivers mathematically possible to compete for the championships. They want that level, but they're not getting it in the same regard.
No, because you can't, like, manufacture that. It's just they're going to do their best they can. And, look, I can make a whole another podcast episode about the problems with the playoff system.
Yeah.
So, let's see, you picked – who did you pick? Truex?
Yeah, Truex, and then Logano.
And then your restrictor plate pick, that's what I'm calling it, Logano. I picked Busch and Chase Elliott. Wild card. Guy we haven't even talked about. And let's just say he's going to make the championship four. Doesn't even have to win, but, like, sneaks his way in the championship four. Complete wild card. What do you got?
Complete wild card getting the champ four.
Nobody's talking about him.
Yeah, I feel like I should know who you're talking about, but the only name coming to me, and this may be kind of crazy, but just because of the ride he's in and the guy he is, I'm going with Matty D and the Wood Brothers. Wild card pick.
Wait, you went out that whole time. You got to reset.
Okay. looking at it, I'm probably going to go, since, like I said, the guy who has good equipment now and is a great guy, you know, solid for NASCAR, and he's, like I said, he's a great driver, but it's probably Matty D in the, with the Wood Brothers making it as a wild card pick just because of the simple fact he's got top five finishes here this year with Levine Family Racing, which is significant, well, I wouldn't say significantly, but lesser equipment in a way, and being back in a Ford, which is what he came up in, I think that that would be somewhat realistic, but definitely a wild card pick would be Matty D.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. I didn't think about that.
But I have no idea who you'd be thinking of. You talk like it's so easy to think of, but that was the only name coming to me.
Oh, no. No. I have no idea who I'm going to say. Okay. I was hoping that you were going to have a really good answer, and yours actually wasn't bad. Complete wild card. No one's talking about. Eric Almirola.
Wow. I mean, that's a good one, but I probably would have went with Bowyer before Almirola.
You know what sucks is that was the other name I was going to say. The only reason I went with Almirola is just because of his consistency. And he's the type of guy that's consistent. Doesn't necessarily win a lot, but he's consistent. So I could see him kind of playing the point system and then winning at the last second when he needs to get into the championship four.
Okay, well, let me give you another one here, though.
Okay.
Ryan Newman.
I know.
How do you feel about that?
That was another name that popped in my head, but I think Almirola is more competitive than Newman. I think Newman's way overhyped.
I would agree.
Newman just plays good defense, and honestly, everyone's like, oh, well, that's Ryan Newman. You can try to get past him. He won't let you pass. My thing is like, no, Newman's a fucking asshole, dude. He doesn't let people pass that he should let pass. Like, I don't like Ryan Newman. For whatever reason, I think even when he was with RCR, I never really liked him. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he drives on the track. He's like a little don't let you pass thing. Like, I don't know. I think he's just an asshole. Like, how come nobody just calls him as they see him?
I mean, people do, but at the same time, that's Kyle Busch kind of says it sometimes. That's just how you're supposed to race. You know, like, you're not going to let other people buy you. I understand, like, if he's a lap car or whatever, but at least with Newman, you know, driving behind that man, no matter what you do, no matter what position you are in compared to him, you're not getting past him. At least it's consistent, so you don't have to guess. I guess that probably makes it a little easier to plan.
The fact that the only reason anybody talks about Newman's driving style is not letting someone pass means that he's never the one passing.
Yes and no, just because if you look at his average finish, and I mean, he took the six car up from where it was at previously in the last few years, but I think that's how it's been his whole career. He's always kind of flown under the radar. Early on, he was winning a lot of races. Even recently, you know, the six car hasn't been competing for championships, whereas Ryan Newman, I believe it was 3 years ago at ISM, put Kyle Larson into the wall so he could get that one spot to make the championship. But that's how Newman's been his whole career, is that kind of guy. So,
but here's,
I mean,
the thing,
it's a wild card.
If you look at Newman when he was at RCR, Austin Dillon had better average finishes, more, you know, wins, more top tens than Ryan Newman in equal equipment at RCR. And then people are like, oh, well, he's taking the six car. But, I mean, how do we know the six car wasn't always pretty good? It just had Trevor Bayne behind it.
I know it's hard because Trevor Bayne was supposed to be one of the, you know, like the next big thing for Ford.
I know, and he was terrible. But prior to that, they had Matt Kenseth, who was incredible. So, like, maybe Trevor Bayne was just the problem the whole time, and the six car is really not that bad.
Maybe, but at the same time, you also got to consider how toxic Newman's relationship at RCR ended up, you know, and that was towards the end of the years at RCR that he made a deep playoff run, which Austin Dillon hasn't, despite all the stats you rattled off. So that's why I'd say Ryan Newman maybe is a wild card, just because he's been able to sneak around for so long.
I'm taking Almirola over Newman any day.
Oh, I would agree with that. I was making the case for Newman, but I would agree with you. Almirola definitely is more championship caliber right now.
I've seen Almirola. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's – I agree with what you're saying, the consistency part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that I just got a weird thing about Newman. I think he's a little overhyped. People talk about his driving style. I think he's just an asshole.
I remember more as the Rocket Man, you know, the guy winning all the polls. Right. That's how I remember him, so I see that Newman.
Right, I remember that too. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. He's overhyped.
I'd agree.
All right, well, whatever apartment is above me is cooking dinner, and it's making me starving. So I'm going to call this a wrap for this episode. I think this is pretty good, considering we went into this with nothing. We were like, what are we going to talk about?
Especially with the technical difficulties.
Oh my God. Yeah, because we're going to edit all that out, but the audience has no idea how much we've had to deal with in this episode. So if this episode is complete shit, blame it on Skype. No, I mean, I know the quality is going to be complete shit, so you can definitely blame that on Skype. But me and Trey here are trying to figure out a better solution for my podcast now that I need a new software. We're going to figure it out. Right, Trey?
Oh, yeah. We'll get something going. There's many podcasts are out there, like I told you earlier. There's got to be some other way to record it than Skype, because Skype obviously is absolutely horseshit.
I know. And my other software just is completely – it's gone. I can't use it anymore. So we're going to figure something out. So I apologize for the terrible audio quality, but at least we got on here and we got to just talk. And like I said, go over to Burnt Rubber Racing Network on YouTube. I'm posting a video there. Trey's been posting, not enough there because I've been getting on his ass about that. But
yeah, I got you.
We're posting a lot on there. No, it's a lot of fun content over there because you get the visual also, shorter clips, stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Everybody go check that out. And Trey, thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem, man. Like I said, anytime you want me on here, I will do it. I'm not going to be your best guest, but it's someone's you ain't got to talk to yourself.
It's okay because I'm not the best host. So, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Peace. It was straight shot.